How many of you men, as Ted was preaching, just were so stirred that you just wanted to get up and continue preaching your own message? Come on, be honest with me. One, two, three. Amen. All right. Okay. I might take you up on that. Okay. I am dead serious. I've already taken Doug up on it. Well, he didn't offer, but I offered Doug. So, great start. Very happy about that. Tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, we will have our first men's prayer breakfast. Prayer meeting. And we are going to have a short devotion followed by our prayer meeting. In thinking of where to meet, I originally thought we might meet in the basement over there, but I don't think we'll do that. I think we'll just meet right here. I think we'll come back here and meet. Oh yes, by the fireplace. Okay. All right, we'll meet there. We may just come in and grab some chairs and go back out there, but we'll meet there. And let's get started right at 7 o'clock, okay? It's gonna be really interesting. Sam's gonna be sharing his testimony. And I'm looking forward to hearing that. Everybody is all set with their rooms, okay? Everybody's set. Okay, there's more coming, there's even more coming this evening. So, all right. It's early. It's only 8:20. I purposely, the way I set up the messages, I wanted Ted to start out this evening and then let him preach tomorrow morning, so that in case there was something else that he wanted to continue on or you know, however the Lord led him, and he would be able to go back to back, and then I'll be preaching tomorrow evening. I'm going to be sharing some things in relation to our battle that we've been through over the last 5 years. I'm going to bring some documents and let you see for yourself that the things that I've been telling you were not just made up. I mean, you're going to see these documents for yourself, and I'm looking forward to sharing those things with you. All right, does anybody have any questions? Is there any man out there that's just busting at the seams that needs to speak for 2 or 3 minutes? Anybody? Leon, you have 2 minutes. Okay, go right ahead.
One of the ways to really understand what we're doing here and how we got here is to be able to literally get rid of all your agenda in life, get rid of all your things, and truly do what he says, to be able to go out in the world with nothing and with no agenda and see if it's true or not. And God will prove that, you know, that he will keep every promise. In 1999, I circled the entire continent of North America preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I had the rifle, but I didn't have the bullets. I knew what I needed to do, so I circled. I went as far north, south, east, and west as you can go by land and sea in this continent. And Newfoundland, Labrador, Alaska, Mexico, Key West, Florida, listening to the Gospels and preaching the Gospels. What I learned, and this guy right here, they got it all figured out. But then I go over here, and this guy, they blow that guy completely away. He don't need to know nothing. Well, I knew something was wrong. I didn't know what it was. And then I found Charlie Stewart. And he gave me the bullets. Now, I mean, I'm still preaching the gospel all over the world. I'm in every kind of motorcycle ministry, Christian thing that you can imagine. And you can imagine the places I've been banned off of and kicked off of and called every name that you can imagine. But you know something? Every one of those people, just like scripture says, the evil will fall by the wayside, they will disappear, but the righteous will stay and, you know, still be here. Well, in all those chat rooms, I have the bullets now because I met Charlie. Charlie used to teach at the place where I met my wife. you 20 years ago. I didn't know it till later at Indianapolis Baptist Temple. Well, anyhow, in all them chat rooms, I'm still standing, and they're all gone. And none of them can hold a candle to the Word. And so, try. Don't leave home. Just for a while, a weekend. Go stand at a gas station. And that's why I always got my guard on. Because I'm visible. And everybody, oh man, I used to have a Harley, and I used to have a Triumph, and I did this. And it's that motorcycle is a giant portal to the Holy Spirit, to the kingdom of heaven. Because it's our freedom machine. And so, and you sit there, and you just, and all of a sudden, you won't believe the people that God will send you. And you send you to them, say, man, I know you are sent by God. That's exactly right. So try it. Don't have no agenda. Forget everything you got. Go stand in the gas station. Make yourself visible. Someplace like that. And just say, okay, look around you. And let that small voice in your head tell you, you know what I mean? Okay, do this. Go do it. And watch what happens. You'll see magic.
Okay, that was right at three. You went right at 3 minutes. I was getting ready to ring the bell. Was there any other man that was just busting at the seams at Ted's message this evening would like to share something for 2 to 3 minutes? Anybody? Joe, I know you were.
I got more questions than I got
saved. Ask him a question. Ask him a question if you've got one. Go right ahead. We have totally misunderstood the passage of Scripture that talks about the kingdom is from generation to generation. Our generation has failed miserably, just like Ted said. We've got a bunch of young people here. Oh, I'm excited. Look at that table of young people right there. Listen, your generation, you've got to see ecclesia in your generation. Okay, us old guys, we've blown it. Now, I have committed the rest of my life to making up. I've been preaching it forever, but I've not seen it. We can't let another generation go without seeing ecclesia. You guys have to have ecclesia in your generation. That's what it means, generation to generation. This generation blew it. Okay, there's another one coming. Let's see the kingdom of God in your generation. Who else? Anybody else just busting that needs to say something? We obviously are not pro-church here. Okay? I think we were just a little bit too quiet during Ted's message for fear that someone might think, oh my goodness, they're playing church. Okay? Amen is in the Scripture. Selah is in the Scripture. Hallelujah is in the Scripture. Okay? Whoever's preaching, if you gotta let an amen go, let her rip. Okay? Because that's like, for a preacher, that's like sick them to a bulldog. Okay? All right. Nobody? Nobody has anything else they want to add? Yep, go ahead, Jeff. All right. Amen. Okay. I expect it to be a little bit different for Ted's message in the morning. We all know we're not playing church. We're done. We're past that. We know that. Okay. If you need to say amen, if you need to smack your hand on the table or stomp your foot, let it go. Just don't be bashful. Okay. Say it again. Anybody else? Webb, what'd you say? I didn't hear you.
He said, how about slapping my head again?
Oh. Now, if you're going to slap a head, slap your own, okay? Don't slap anybody else's. All right. I don't want to put anybody in the spot. Any of you young guys have anything to say? Nothing? Okay, hopefully by the time this weekend is over, somebody's going to stand up and say something. Because your generation has got to see the kingdom of God. Because ours hasn't done it. What a sad, sad condemnation. Yeah?
I'd like to say something, and that is, we think in terms of numbers, but it just hit me about the Gideon and the 300, and that's really where the numbers are at, is the ones that, you know, or stay alert and so forth. It's not in terms of masses.
How about the apostles? Don't agree on that last message. How about the apostles in the 70?
Absolutely. But, brothers, our problem is we've got one guy that lives in Louisiana, one guy that lives in California, or maybe two or three, but they're 500 miles apart. We've got one guy that lives in Nebraska. We've got two guys that live in Lawrence County, which probably is the safest place for Christianity today. We've got, you know, a guy here in Illinois. We got some young men from North Dakota. Okay. We're scattered. We're not a community. We're scattered. We're easy pickings for the enemy. What's the scripture say? Two is, someone help me out. It's totally slipping me. Proverbs, or is it Song of Solomon?
Two-fold cord.
Right. And I'm thinking of, the two-fold cord and the three-fold cord. And yet many of us don't even have a two-fold cord besides our wives. Thank God for our wives. Boy, if you got a good one, you better hold on. Okay, anybody else?
I'll say something.
Go ahead, Eric.
About Ted's comment on pronomian. There's a group out in California that is trying to reform the church. And they're, in some ways, they do good things, but they posted a deal recently about how we need to be supporting cops, because that's pronomian.
Supporting what?
Police, cops. And so I sort of got in a discussion with them that they never really understood what I was saying, but these people in the world around us consider being pronomian supporting antinomian theory. I mean, they really do. They've got it that confused, and they can't, what do you call it, bridge the gap or whatever. They can't seem to come across to realize the whole problem is that you've thrown out God's law, and now you're trying to help these people hang on to man's law.
It's upside down, isn't it?
And that's happening in the whole nation, maybe the whole world at this moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and this church revolution. Don't you be fooled by what's going on with John MacArthur. You better read his own words. Read his own words. And you're going to see through that really, really quickly. They're playing church is all they're doing, and they're trying to protect church. It's nothing about the kingdom of God. It is nothing about the law of God. I saw a clip of his the other day. Very first thing he said was, these court decisions are unconstitutional. Unconstitutional. Good grief. A supposed man of God sitting there saying that the attack coming against him is unconstitutional. Brothers, you better have higher authority than the Constitution. I'm going to tell you that right now. He's been in four courts right now. The first one went with him. And everybody said, oh, what a great victory they had out there in Los Angeles County. And then what, 3 days later, they went to another court. And that one said, nope, this is constitutional for us to shut you down. And then the next court said, no, it is unconstitutional to shut you down. And then the fourth one said, it is constitutional to shut you down. And all the while, you know, good grief. I still think that thing is probably going to end up with the U.S. Supreme Court. And you know what? That's going to be easy as can be for those guys. It's Grace Community Church, a California
corporation.
That's going to be easy. Easy for those guys. A corporation is a creature of the state, presumed to be incorporated for the benefit of the public, and its rights to act as a corporation are preserved to it so long as it obeys the laws of its what?
Creator.
Goodness, that's not hard. Isn't hard. Anybody else? Joe, go ahead.
I've heard you allude to before, you know, that you guys picked up everything, sold everything, and moved, thinking, as you, I believe what you said, Joel, go and join Nicosia. What are the, what has caused it to fail? Where should we succeed next?
I'll tell you what's caused it to fail, okay? It's everybody's pet doctrine that if you don't have a beard like I do, then I can't fellowship with you. If you part your hair on that side, and I believe you're supposed to part it on this side, I can't fellowship with you. And instead of focusing on the kingdom of God, you know what? I've said this before, Joe. On some of these issues, and some of these issues are extremely serious. The issue of Sabbath, okay? We can sit here and go around the room, and I guarantee you we're going to get at least three definitions of Sabbath, maybe four, and if you don't do it the way I do, I can't fellowship with you. That is our problem. And you want me to tell you what I think is the deal? I think as long as we are scattered, as long as you live in Texas and I live in Missouri, and others live all wherever else, we're not going to get the answers to some of those questions. We're not going to get it. And I almost believe that God is preventing us from it. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. We're not two or three. And the reason is because we have let so many of our personal pet doctrines keep us from fellowshipping with our own brethren. It's what we've done. You know it and I know it. Look at all the heads going like this to me right now. You know it. You don't see it the way I see it. I can't fellowship with you. All right? Then you're going to be by yourself until the day you die. That's our problem, Joe. If we could agree and focus, Ted has hit it right on the head. Predestined from the foundation of the world, the scriptures say, is the ecclesia. And we've played church our entire lives. It's what we've been doing. Not a single one of us here in this room, except for maybe some of you that have 10 or 11 brothers and sisters, but even still, okay, ecclesia is not intended to be just your family. Ecclesia is not intended for you to even, I don't care if your wife is the greatest wife in the world and believes everything the way you do and is rock solid in the scripture, ecclesia is not you and your wife. It's not. That's our problem. Fussing, fighting, picking on each other. You know, the scripture talks about gnashing their teeth on each other. And I've seen that because you don't see it exactly the way I do. I've seen it. And that's our problem. If we could focus and understand what ecclesia is, and the passage of scripture that Ted preached, that he closed with tonight in Matthew chapter 16, and see that we are not winning. And we're not winning. It's not God's fault that we're not winning. He gave us the book. He gave us the plan. Just follow my plan. Absolutely. But we're too busy fussing and fighting and picking on each other because you don't do the Sabbath the way I do the Sabbath. And so forth. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some issues that I'm absolutely not going to compromise. I'm not going to do it. But we better learn to find out who is on our side. And we better figure out a way to get together. That's what I want to see out of here. My wife and I, we have sold every single thing that we have to our name 3 times now over the last 30 years to try to build Ecclesia. And guess how many times we've succeeded? But you know what? I'm going to try again. And if that fails, I'm going to try again. I'm going to die at least trying. Who else? Anybody else have anything?
I want to make a little comment on what you're talking about. There's, and I've been trying to get Charlie to come and visit these Ecclesias. There's several of them in this area that are trying. Now, Charlie did get to visit one of them. He was a block from my house and didn't know it. I mean, I live in the woods and in the country. And that's exactly what Charlie's telling you, is that they do it on Saturday, they do it on Sunday. You know what I mean? That some of them, you can't light a candle. You can't warm a cup of coffee. But the common denominator in Ecclesia is that everybody has to have their own space. Community kitchens do not work. You cannot all eat out of the same refrigerator. It just don't.
Yeah, don't let anybody think. Therese and I were accused of being communists. Good grief. You believe in a commune. Don't believe in a commune. Good grief. You go to the cities and people live in apartment complexes. But you have a preacher talk about a Christian community of called out believers and he's accused of being a communist. Unbelievable. One day, Teresa and I were, I saw you. I'm going to get to her in just 2 minutes. One day, Teresa and I were driving out in the country, out in Leon's country. We were in the middle of what appeared to be just, I'm in a forest. And all of a sudden, it opens up and we see a little community sitting there. And found out that what happened, these people had, they had an industry. Amazing. It was incredible. They had an industry. And all these people that had this common belief system were right there in a community. And then the men worked at the industry that they had. And I just thought, wow, I mean, that was just amazing. You know what they were? They were Mormons. Are you kidding me? The Mormons at least had that much figured out, more than what God's true people do. They did. It's amazing. You can go there and see it right now. It's amazing, isn't it, Leon? It is really something. Trish, what did you have?
How do we work toward abolishing or forgetting about our pet doctrines? Somebody needs to discuss how we do that.
Charlie, if I may.
Go ahead.
Got to learn how to Romans 14 with people. And you're not
someone asked me almost the same question that Trish did a while back, and I'll just flat out tell you, okay? I'm probably as far as Sabbath goes, I'm going to be in one of those. I said there was probably four different beliefs, maybe even in this room right now, and I'm probably in the fourth, and I'm going to tell you I'm probably in the minority, okay? But I want you to hear what I say. I believe if you are not participating actively in a Sabbath in your life, you're not in the kingdom of God. But I don't do the Sabbath like my son-in-law does. Okay? But I believe that if you're in the kingdom of God, you are keeping the Sabbath or keeping a Sabbath. Okay? But the scriptures say, how beautiful is it when God's people dwell in what? Unity. Okay? He wants unity for his people. But unity is not going to come when God's people get together once a year for 4 days of eating excellent food. Jeff, thank you. I singled Jeff out a little while ago because, like I said, he's been here for over 24 hours now. He's been in that kitchen for almost all that time. But, I mean, Kylie got here, feet hit the ground running. She went right back there and jumped in, and I appreciate it. Judy, same thing. Linda, same thing. And, you know, when you start to do all the thank yous, you're going to forget somebody. And if I did, I am so sorry. I know I was getting ready to say something. I was getting ready to say something about my wife. Chrissy was back there. So, you know, if I forgot somebody, I apologize for that. But I saw Chris back there. So.
He's going to cook your eggs tomorrow, by the way.
But God wants unity for his people. But there's nothing like learning about your brother until you're in the field working together. I mean, with the hoe together, building a building together. Watch what your brother does when he hits his thumb with a hammer. You know? That's how I believe that unity is going to come about. When God's people are truly in community, we're going to get some of these things solved because God wants unity for his people. No doubt in my mind. Chris, go ahead.
I think one of the things that is very important in getting to the unity brothers, they have to submit themselves to one another, because until men start submitting themselves to one another and ultimately establishing judges to carry out the judgments of the law, we're not going to come to the same place as long as we're on our individual planes that we're on.
Absolutely.
It takes the submitting one to another, and it takes the judgments to be carried out on the smallest levels, then up to the greatest levels. It's the only way we'll find the unity in that.
Absolutely. Christopher and I talk about this all the time. Talked about if we were actually in community. Okay, I just told you, I probably don't believe Sabbath the same way some of you do. But you know what? If I was in community with my brothers and the majority, okay, and I realize the majority is not always right. I get that. And I'm not saying that I'm right on that issue. But if I'm in community with five other Christian families, and those other four families say, we believe that the Sabbath is a 24-hour period of time, and we believe that we should, you know what? I'd be the first one to say, I'm all in.
That's right.
Because he hit it right on the head. It is submitting one to another is what the scriptures say. But we have a lot of trouble with that, don't we? Are you busting? Or are you getting ready to say something?
I'm working on it.
Okay. Tyler, what were you getting ready to say?
I was just going to follow up on what Ted said. The Bible says God, you know, died for us while we were still in sin. And so God doesn't wait to call each of us individually until we're perfect. He doesn't wait to call us until we're perfect. So So we can't look at a brother and say, even though we think he's wrong, or even though we're convinced that he is wrong, we can't say the Spirit of God is not working in him, because just as God has called us prior to our perfection, we're still not perfect. We should respect the brother as he is called of God, even though he has not reached that position. That's pretty much what Ted mentioned about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, if we're going to determine fellowship on doctrine, then, and if we're growing in Christ as we're supposed to be, you know, daily transformed from day to day and from glory to glory is what, you know, and that's all with the goal of becoming more and more like Christ on a daily basis. That's got to be our goal first and foremost. But think about this. If fellowship is determined by doctrine, then I couldn't even have fellowship with myself probably 10 days ago. Because I love that guy because that guy helped me get to where I'm at now because he's looking for Christ. I'm looking to be like Christ. And I wouldn't want anybody to disfellowship that guy 10 days ago because what I didn't understand then that I do now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to give each other the same leeway we give ourselves.
And why is it, Ted, that we as brothers are so quick to announce to congregation. We're quick to announce to anybody that'll listen to us what our brother's faults are. That blows my mind. You know how many times I get emails from people saying, "Did you hear what so-and-so said?" I'm going to just tell you right now, don't you dare send me an email like that, because you will not like the response. How dare you tell me what your brother did? Have you gone to your brother yet before you drag somebody else into the situation? Quit trying to air everybody's dirty laundry. This is the crudest illustration that I think I've ever come up with. And I got to think about this before I say it because I got to be really careful. The community, the ecclesia, the scriptures describe it as a body, right? Okay. We could get along with, hey, my wife's got a beautiful face. I love to look at my wife's face. She has got a beautiful face. That's easy. Do you know where I'm headed on this? The body's got a, everybody's got a back end. And somehow we've got to get along with that too. And invariably, every single time we try to get something going, somebody comes onto the scene and it's that back end. And we got to figure out how to deal with that too. Yeah, Ted.
Mm-hmm. We'd only give them the chance. But once you presume something, and boy, this is really the case with husbands and wives, I think, more than anything else. We can so easily presume something about it. We don't talk to them about it, whereas communication is so important. But once you presume something to be true, it becomes true to you. It is, and you start the foundation stone of a wall that you then build everything based on a presumption. That's nothing but a presumption about it. You know, part of the description of love in 1 Corinthians 13 is that you believe all things. So you go to me and say, Wayne, man, you know, the way that came across, this is the conclusion I came up with. And Wayne's going to go, golly, Ted, no, I meant just the opposite. I just didn't, maybe I didn't explain myself well enough. But if I give him the opportunity, that's, you know, 99% of the time, that's what's going to do. But instead, 99% of the time, we presume something to be true that isn't, and we build a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Build a wall on a presumption that's not even true.
Mm-hmm.
Over it. I see so many.
I've heard some of the greatest kingdom messages come from him. And one little something or other, and I get emails. Well, did you hear what Ted said? Sure did. Didn't have a problem with it. Did you agree? Oh, maybe, maybe not. I don't care. Have you heard the 99.999% of the stuff that the man has said? Yeah, that's all I'm focused on. That's all I care about. Man, I hope people aren't picking my life apart. Because man, wow. But why do we do that to each other? I don't understand that. But Joe, that is one of our biggest problems. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you. Instead, we say, him that is weak in the faith, put your foot on his head and smash him to the ground until he repents and believes like I do. But that's what we do. And I don't get that. But as long as we do, we're so far away from ecclesia, it's not even funny. But until we get some of these things squared away, I don't think God's going to give us that blessing. Because if we were receiving that blessing, it would be the greatest thing any of us have ever experienced in our life. You know, Ted, I've said that for a long, long time. God's going to have his people. He said that he predestined the ecclesia before the foundation of the world. He did that. And he's going to have his people one way or another. You know, I thought civil war was coming to this country because they were going to take the guns. Never in a million years did I think that civil war might come because they're coming at you wanting to jab you with a needle over something that's not even real. But they've got their society so whipped up into a ridiculous frenzy, it's not even funny. Crazy. I mean, I heard one of their politicians the other day actually say, I'm afraid we'll have civil war in the United States by December. That's what I heard one of them say. Wow. I haven't heard that out of one of their politicians in a long, long time. But I heard that the other day. Anybody else?
Exactly what Ted was talking about a while ago happened to me about something so innocent. I couldn't even imagine that they could twist and contort, you know what I mean, what I said to what he thought I said, you know. The real picture seems to be that we're hitting on here, and the only solution that I see to all these problems right now that we're talking about this moment is we have to give our brother, beyond a shadow of a doubt, every positive notion that we can give him, not assuming that he said anything negative or even implied it. So the only solution is, I think, is unity of the spirit, just like scripture says. The letter killeth and the spirit brings life. So I think that this unity, knowing that we trying to live in the kingdom and we love Jesus with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our might, you know what I mean, we need to hang on to that.
And I started out saying what I was saying a minute ago about this coronavirus thing and about God is going to have his people one way or another. He's going to have his people. You know, we've got some in our group, you know, it's gone from Christian identity to some of them talked about spiritual Israel, then Christian Israel. And I'm telling you that I believe that it is physical Israel, spiritual Israel, Christian Israel, Commonwealth of Israel. Our problem is that we are not the nation of the Commonwealth of Israel. We're in a society, every single one of us, living under a law system that's not ours. It should be as foreign to us as if you were Russian or Chinese. All their laws that they have stacked to the moon and back. We're all being subjected to them because we're not a nation. We're not the nation. If we were a nation, we'd be living in the same general area with a king serving his laws. Be concerned about the laws of the United States. Are you kidding? Those should be as foreign to us as Russian laws are to U.S. citizens. It should be just as foreign. But we're not. So yeah, when you hear me talking about ecclesia, I'm talking about God's people living in the same general area. Now, if you guys can get that accomplished in North Dakota, and there's four of you, now you're going to get, hopefully, Lord willing, how many of you are married? Four brothers? There are four brothers?
Three sisters.
How many of you came? How many of in your family are here right now?
There's three of us here.
Three of you here right now. And none of you are married right now? Okay, all right. Well, hey, if you guys can get ecclesia going in North Dakota, man, awesome. Fantastic. Teresa and I've been talking to ecclesia, trying to get something going. A lot of people in this area right now are still scared to death to get too close to me. But, you know, I mean, maybe, Ted, because there was a hearing, another hearing, and I haven't told you guys about this yet, but there was another hearing 2 weeks ago. And what this hearing was about was I went back in there and got it put on the record that I am admitting guilt of nothing. I have done I've said from day one, I have not broken God's laws, and I haven't even broken their laws. And I didn't even know that I could do this, but I went back into their courtroom and made them put on the record that I am guilty of nothing. So I walk to the front door going in there. This time, it was the first time since all these hearings have been going on, they got a big sign on the front door. You must have a mask to enter this courthouse. So I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. Just finished almost 5 years of in and out of their jail. I guess I'm probably going to be in there again today. So I walk right in there. I'm the only one in the whole place with no mask. So go on upstairs to their little circus room and walk in. The judge is up there with his full mask on. The persecutor's over there with his full mask on. The lady sitting there doing her deal, she's there with the mask on. Attorneys are in there, all have their masks on. And I'm sitting there with no mask on, thinking, okay, here we go. This judge is going to look at me and say, what are you doing? Put your mask on or bailiff, haul him away. Never happened. Sat there the whole time. Then there was another attorney that was sitting there. And halfway through the show, which is what it is, it's a show, he rips his mask off, throws it on the table for everybody to see, and he says, I hate these things. and then he said, rules are made to be broken. And he never put that stupid thing on again. And when that circus was over, we walked out of there. I walked out with him. Neither one of us had the face diapers on. And we walked out. And nobody, so I don't know. I haven't been sick since then, but I don't know. I don't think I have it. Yes, ma'am.
Coming from Tulsa, let me just say that being here with you guys, you guys are sane, has been literally a breath of fresh air. Because I am, even in my friend group in Tulsa, I am the only one that is like, do you not see how stupid this all is? Like, how fake this all is? And so, like, I'll go to the store with my roommates, and all of them will have their masks on, and I walk in without mine. And my roommates are like, oh my God, they're going to kick us out. And the people at the doors are like, I need you to put a mask on. And I'm like, and it's just the craziest thing. And so I come here and nobody has a mask on. And I'm just like, oh, thank God I can breathe.
This has been one of the most door-opening opportunities to witness that I've had in a long, long time. Because I don't wear a mask because it's unconstitutional. Because the next guy comes along and will tell you the exact opposite. I take the opportunity every chance I get to say, I don't wear a mask because it violates the laws of God. And they look at me with their eyes wide open, and it just opens so many doors for testimony and witness. And I mean, that's the response. That they'll look at you like, really? Absolutely. And then wait till you tell them to go look at, I think it's Exodus 28:15, where it says, and she thought she was a harlot because she had on a veil. That one goes over real well. But it's been a great opportunity to advocate for the laws of God. Even though we're not in ecclesia, we still have a responsibility to advocate for the laws of God. Absolutely. And we need to be taking every opportunity that we can to advocate for the laws of God. Even the ungodly can benefit if the laws of God are in place. Absolutely. So, all right, anybody else? Wow, this has been fun. I've enjoyed this.
Winter's really bad here.
They're bad enough, but Ted called me a sissy.
No, they're really not.
Yeah, these North Dakota guys and Nebraska guys.
Hey, you got to meet in the middle.
Just yeah, hey, that's good.
Everybody's got to come together.
I hate to tell you, though, Eric, but I don't want to meet in Lawrence County, even though I still say it's the safest place for believers to be right now. I really do. Prosecutor, the persecutor, after this was over back in July, I told him, I said, we're moving, Don. And he said, oh, please don't.
What?
I'm telling you, that their minds, their consciences are seared. They are seared. Hey, I knew what I signed up for. I honestly didn't. Wasn't expecting it the way it all came. I had always believed it in my mind that someday something like that might happen. In fact, you ask my wife, she'll tell you. We'd often talk through the years that the day may come where I may leave the house to go to the store and encounter one of those guys and never come home again. Hey, when they first captured my oldest son, they threatened to take him to Guantanamo Bay, is what they said. This is a boy that was homeschooled, home taught the scriptures, never been in trouble a day in his life. It had been taught since he was this tall that he was a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel. And because he told a cop that he didn't have a social security number, and he didn't have a driver's license, and he didn't have state tags on his car, they said, we're taking you to Guantanamo Bay. How old was Joshua when that happened? Was he 19 or 20? Something like that. Right here in this, well, it was actually in Joplin is where that happened. Unbelievable. But yet there have been many times where Therese and I have talked about it and said, we may not come home. Why did I say that? Why did I go down that trail? Anybody?
Because Don Trotter can't figure out.
Yeah, because their consciences are seared. Consciences are seared. Every single thing that I said to that cop, you know, I told the cop, I said, you know, I try to drive the speed limit as much as I can. Not because I obey their laws. I could care less about their stinking laws. But I know this because I've been around a corner going 60 miles an hour when the safe speed was probably about 35. And I drove that corner. I thought, holy cow, I went way too fast. And I think for the most part, a lot of times, they whatever they have on their sign that says this is the suggest, to me, it's the suggested speed limit. You know, I think they do a decent job, but I don't, I drive the way I drive because I know that if I cause damage to someone else, okay, I'm not calling Allstate because I'm not in the good hands of Allstate. Okay. I'm not calling Prudential because I don't have a piece of that rock. Okay. I know that if I cause damage or if my children cause damage or my wife causes damage to somebody else, according to the laws of God, I have to pay. So I'm very careful. I told this cop one day, I said, I've always tried to, you know, drive the speed limit. You know what his answer was? Only criminals drive the speed limit. You can't win. You can nothing you say, you cannot win. Their consciences are seared. Here was a young man that the Joshua told me that the FBI absolutely just berated him upside down and down the other side, threatening to take him to Guantanamo Bay. Okay, I've dealt with a cop. I've dealt with a high patrolman. I've never dealt with the FBI. FBI's never come up against me telling me I'm going to Guantanamo Bay. But here's a 20-year-old young man who did not respond with cuss words, did not respond, you know, the way most of the people do that have encounters with those guys. And yet they sat there and told my son they were going to take him to Guantanamo Bay. Stinking slime. That is absolutely, as a dad, just horrific to me. But their consciences are seared. Anybody else?
I wanted to comment on what he said. We have an ecclesia in Collins, Missouri. It's the first piece of land. We got 30 acres over there. I don't live there now, but I did. And I'm still a steward of it. But they had three families over there and about 15 kids, and they all made it through in tents. So if there's a will, there's a way. I mean, you can do it. I mean, you don't think, you know, in other words, your mind can't go, well, what about a lot of people try to move out of Babylon and try to move into ecclesias, but they try to bring Babylon with them. And that's a big mistake.
Well, I sometimes people think that it's cruel for me to make the statement, but Christ himself is the one who said, let the dead bury the dead. And they're dead. They proved it. They're dead. And we have no business being partaking of their death. Their death cult, their death system has been in charge long enough. And it's time for God's people to stand up and be God's people and show this dead world the kingdom of God. Anybody else? Going once. Going twice. All right, let's be done. All right, let's all stand. Eric, why don't you come up here and lead us in a closing prayer? Yes, do you mind? Yeah. Eric has been a good friend of mine for nearly 5 years. I think he may have missed two, maybe three court dates with me. Wasn't too many that were there standing by me, but Eric did, and I appreciate it so much. Speaking of, here, come close to me, Eric. Speaking of how they twist things, can't win with them. You see, Eric's got, you know, he's got that on, and I asked him to be sure to have that on when he came, and others as well, you know, are armed. Eric had a conversation with a fellow in a church parking lot. And when Eric was playing church, he was kind of quasi in charge of security and always came to the church wearing his gun. And, you know, probably not a bad idea considering some of the stuff that's going on. Well, he's having a conversation with a guy in the church parking lot. Nobody raised their voices. Nobody was yelling and screaming and carrying on. Didn't happen. in court, I was reading a letter. He wasn't actually there that day, but I was reading a letter from him as a character witness. Prosecutor jumps up and puts the cop on the stand and says, "Oh, what kind of character witness does this guy have? This Eric Vemont," that's what they called you, Vemont. They said, "He attacked this man with a gun in the church parking lot." The furthest thing from the truth there ever was, but stood right there and committed perjury, which,
sons of Belial.
Pretty bad deal. Who said that?
I did.
Okay, pretty bad deal to commit perjury. I mean, that's listed right there in the scripture with murder. Bad deal. But that's what they did to this guy. Now, all right, Eric, you lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll... You're free to stick around, do whatever you want to do, or some of you probably real tired and want to go back to your room. Whatever you want to do, we'll do it. Okay.
Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings that we have had this evening with a message about your kingdom and then the good comments that follow. Help us all to be inspired to seek to live in a way that does build your ecclesia, and help us to be humble in the areas where we need to that might help that to be possible. We appreciate the study that these men have done to bring this message to us. It's obviously a message that we need to hear. Help us to be willing and able with your help to do what we need to do to help create a true ecclesia based on your laws, your judgments, your statutes that the world so desperately needs and that honestly we need. Thank you for the good food and all the other blessings that go with us. Help us to be attentive through the whole weekend and to take away from this a desire to truly see your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Sam, what do you need for
me?
Let me go ahead.
Find out more about ecclesias and methods in their real life.